Episode 97 of the Top Shelf Podcast, and we are reaching that pinnacle 100 mark. I am joined today by the very handsome and devilish Jose Pena.
What up, what up?
And rolling hard in his car, Josh Gurney.
Josh Gurney.
Josh Gurney's here. Listen, this is the perfect topic for the kind of day that Joshua's had. Because we are going to talk about the responsibilities of the general manager. I want to kind of rephrase that a little bit. Everything in that restaurant is your responsibility. Let me put it that way. And Josh, I know you're a managing partner. You're not a general manager like Jose and I were, or Jose is. I know you know, you got a little piece of the pie, but for the sake of the show, we'll just use general manager as a topic. We all understand that you're high and mighty compared to Jose and I. So the reason I got this is that I started revisiting Gary Vaynerchuk's videos, right? You know, we were big in that before. I started revisiting it lately. And one thing he said, someone asked him, like, so what is your official job title? Are you a motivational speaker? Are you a media guru? Are you X, Y, and Z? He goes, no, I'm a firefighter. All I do all day long is put out fires from the start of my day to the end of my day. And all this stuff you see on YouTube and podcasts and social media is everything I do in between. But my primary job is that I'm a firefighter. And it got me thinking, like, oh my God, that's exactly
what we've always said.
It's exactly what you two do now. Obviously, because I got out of the restaurant business, kind of. But obviously, I can still speak to it a little bit. And it's funny because it doesn't matter if a server spills a drink on someone, or you don't have enough bread in the window, you ran out of napkins, someone calls out sick. Everything that happens in those four walls is 1,000%, whether it's your day off or you're on the shift, 100% your responsibility. Whether you have assistants and assistant general managers and yada, 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 service managers and kitchen managers, it all will always fall on you two. And it can be stressful to newcomers who are just taking up on the role, or, you know, the veterans who are like close to retirement or done with this gig, and the stress toll it takes on them. I just feel like we have a slew of things we could talk about. And I'm actually semi-excited to talk about this conversation because it brings me back to my little roots of, you know, running the shit out of a restaurant. Well, pretending to, at least. Who wants to go first? Jose, Josh, whoever, you know, let's go.
But I mean, I'll go ahead and start. I mean,
okay.
Seeing as it's so fucking fresh in my mind as I'm out driving home for a 12 and a half hour day.
Hey, and you, hold on. I mean, you know it's real. Wait, you know it's real because you never swear.
Right. On the podcast, sometimes I do. In my home life, I never, ever do. But for some reason, I just get passionate on this podcast. It yeah, lights baby. Something up inside of me. But, you know, I think, well, the term general manager really is pretty straightforward, right? Whether you want to call yourself right. a managing partner or general manager, you're the manager of everything. Of everything, general management, right? So you're kind of the leader in whatever building you're operating. And I say leader, you know, some people are a boss, some people are a leader. To me, you have to go in and be a leader every day. Ideally, I wouldn't actually do anything. You know, it doesn't really work that way, but I would have managers working alongside me with me that have their own departments, and then I would just oversee, I would follow up with those managers. Now, that's not reality. It doesn't work that way, you know, but that's technically what a general manager, you know, the term means is that they're overseeing the other managers and managing the business as a whole while they have their directors and they have their own assistant managers that run their departments. And again, would ideally just follow up with them, but obviously there's a lot more that falls into a general manager's pool of responsibility. I think the most important one is hiring, staffing the building, whatever business you're in, you have to staff it. Like, and then you got to keep those people happy. You have to make them believe in what they're doing, and why they're there, and build relationships with them. Staffing the building, the restaurant, whatever company, whatever business you're working in, staffing to me is number one. And then you're managing the physical plant, you know, the building itself, making sure you have a roof over your head and that the building is working and maintenance is taking place. And then you're managing your operation and your financials. I mean, overall, I mean, you could be there. I could never leave work. I would never run out of things to do. I would just be there nonstop. But at some point, you got to clock out and go home and get ready for the next day. I mean, there's no, it never ends. Like you said, the firefighting never ends. Gary Vee talks about, you know, like he could hang up his phone or, you know, put his phone upside down while he does a podcast or a video chat. He does a million things, and he'll pick up his phone at the end of it and he'll have 40 fires to fight out. And he's like, it's nothing.
Right.
That's
yeah,
not stressful. Right. That's just what I'm doing. And that's, you know, I'll tell you some of my favorite things are just when I pick up my phone on my day off and I don't have any fires to fight. I love that. It means my team's doing their job. Right now, might I come into something on the next day, on the following day, I might come into a note, or, you know, I might hear, oh, it wasn't that great, but, you know, they're managing it on their own. You know, so that speaks to the fact, you know, the teaching that I've done to my managers and the keys that work alongside them. And then the staff below them that we've managed to staff a restaurant. I mean, these are challenging times. Never has there been, at least in my career, a more challenging time to run a business.
Any business.
You know, it is a challenge. Every day we've had to reinvent ourselves. And it's getting smoother now. But, you know, in April, May, June, dude, it was tough. It was real tough. And then, you know, staffing now is – I mean, you're interviewing people in masks, and you're having to interview people on video chats, and I mean, it's just, and then you're training people in a completely different fashion than you normally would. But, you know, I very, very frequently just tell myself on the way to work that the most important thing I can do today is just be in a good mood. And that's mm-hmm. gonna, and everything else just kind of falls into place around that. If I go in and I'm ripping tickets off the printer and I throw a plate at the wall because, you know, the cook didn't cook the salmon properly, or if I yell and scream at people over stuff that I could very calmly explain myself, then it's just not gonna, it's not gonna work out. The most important thing that I can do is show up to work in a good mood and leave people with my positive energy. And that's how I've done it for the past 12 years. Now, there's times when it's more, you know, it's more hands-on and I'm struggling through it. But more often than not, my game, what makes me successful and good at what I do, it's not because I run the best numbers or because I run the tightest maintenance plan or because I have the most staff. Now, usually if you're just in a good mood when you come to work, you have a big staff and people want to stay and work for you. But my thing has always been, I can show up to work and be in a good mood amongst almost any situation. And that's what separates a boss from a leader. A leader knows, hey man, these people are watching me and I need to lead by example. And if I come in and I'm pissy because we have to wear masks, everybody's going to be pissy because we have to wear masks, whether they show it or not. You know, there's a big, big difference between being a boss and a leader. A leader shows up and they get it. A boss just bosses people around because they have a set of keys.
That last comment is just you taking responsibility for your environment,
right?
In the cult, in the culture. It's not you saying, my service manager needs to be in charge of the front of the house culture, and then my kitchen manager needs to be in charge of the kitchen culture. No, that's you just being overall leader and taking responsibility for the culture and the environment as a whole. Jose, what you got for me, baby?
You know, to piggyback off of Josh, yeah, we have a lot of responsibility day to day, and you know, we have to answer to certain people and have certain things done. But like Josh said, it's all about attitude. You know, once you create that atmosphere of everyone just coming to work and be happy. And if you don't like it, go. And if you're miserable, go. And they know that that's the culture that you're trying to build and what you have there for people coming in. It just, it breeds that whole type of culture, that positivity. And, you know, it helps alleviate the pressures of getting the people that want to drag you down or that are always fucking miserable or always bitching and moaning and starting gossip. The culture that you create, like Josh said, or like we tried to do, or we did, or I'm doing now, is like all about the positivity and, you know, a teamwork atmosphere and stuff like that. You know, this COVID thing actually helped my restaurant out better because a lot of the negative people didn't come back. And a lot of the people that wanted to work and wanted the extra hours have come in. And I think out of like 42 responses that we've gotten back from like Open Table and Yelp and Google reviews, I think two have been like 2 stars and everything else has been 4 or 5 stars. And one person was mad at us because we didn't serve brunch anymore. So like, or we're not serving brunch yet. So like, I think that's a pretty good, you know, start for me and for us. And, you know, this whole COVID thing, like we said, is a totally different beast. And, you know, are we opening? Are we closing? We're doing takeout. We're doing this. We're doing that. You know, we're half dining room, not bar. We're on the patio. We have to make bigger patio for our town. Like that type of stuff. Everyone's learning on the fly. But if you have people in there that are willing to change like on the fly and not be so like regimented in this, like we did it this way and this is how we're always going to do it. You get those people out and you get these young people or even people who are older people that are willing to change and realize the times and that are open to that, it makes our job so much more easier. We don't have to be on the floor at all times. Like we can be in the kitchen doing what we have to do. We can be running reports. We can be being on our calls and on our Zoom calls and everything else we have to do. It just opens up a lot more doors when people are flexible and they're willing to help out expo or run food or bus a table or, you know, it's just, I'm a server. I don't do that. Or answer the phone, take a takeout order. You know what I mean? Like I have a lot of servers that never took a takeout order. It's like, it's the same thing. You just type it in on the takeout computer. Like, you know, the screen, what do you mean? And you know, it's helped. They've answered phones, they've bused tables, they've sat people, you know, they've gotten people masks as we have a couple extra. So when people walk in with no masks, they help out. So I just think it's actually built a better culture moving forward. So when this is all over and fucking done with, hopefully sooner rather than later, it'll just be an easier transition for everybody because everyone has been cross-utilized as a bartender or, you know, a busser, like I said, or expediting or running food or whatever it is. It's just going to, it's going to create a lot of positivity and a lot easier transition for what our new normal is going to be. And hopefully we hit that new normal sooner rather than later.
You know, I'm listening to you both speak and you two are two of the top three best restaurant minds that I've had the pleasure of working with or for, or even knowing, like I obviously, because we've been in this the business for so long, you get to know a lot of people and you two by far, just listening to you talk right now, are two of the top three most intelligent men when it comes to the restaurant industry and running restaurants. I'm not going to tell you who's number one, but what? I was going to say Chef Ramsay. What the fuck?
Oh, were you? Yeah.
Actually, probably Danny Meyer, but it doesn't make a difference.
That makes you look ugly, Lenny. That makes you look ugly.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be ugly. That's coming up also. So
that's
let me
why
ask
I said
you a question. And I listen, be honest with yourselves first and foremost, because I used to do it all the time. And towards the end, I was getting better with it, but I'm 100% guilty of this. And I want you both to try to be honest with me. You know, you're not going to hurt anyone's feelings. When, let's say, your assistant would screw up, okay?
Uh-oh.
And your staff member came up to you and said, hey, listen, I know Sharon did the schedule. She put me on Tuesdays. I can't work Tuesdays. She knows that. I haven't worked Tuesdays in 3 years. Are you quick to jump and say, it's all Sharon's fault, I can't believe it? Or have you always been able to say, you know what, we'll fix it, it's my responsibility, I should have looked it over, I should have double checked the schedule before she posted it, I'll take care of it. Or are you quick to blame Sharon for the miss up? And just use the schedule as an example. Sharon could have done anything.
I'll start with that. I mean, when I worked with you, I blamed everything on you.
Yeah, because I was the boss. Yeah, so.
No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I usually take responsibility for it. I'll be like, oh, Sharon did the schedule. But I will check with her and we'll figure it out. I mean, if we can't work Tuesdays, we'll, you know, see if someone can pick up the shift, and I'll let Sharon know that the next schedule, you can't work Tuesdays. Maybe she just forgot. She lost the paper that said it, or did you change your availability in whatever program you're using? We use hot schedules now, so like the availability is there, so you can't even schedule somebody if their availability is not there. So,
right.
Without it like dinging and saying, hey, this person's not working, this person can't work. But I try, even with the kitchen, I try to tell the staff, like, listen, we're a team. You don't throw anybody on the bus. Yeah, they overcooked the steak, or yeah, they undercooked the burger. But it is what it is, you know what I mean? And usually if, like, they forgot something in the kitchen and I'm in the expo window, I usually run out to the table and be like, hey, listen, your food was coming out and I dropped it, or it came off the grill weird and we're making you a new one. Like, I usually blame it on myself. I mean, hey, listen, my name's Jose. I'm the general manager. I was in the window. I went to take your food and I dropped it off the plate. It's my fault. It'll be a couple minutes. And people are more accepting if you tell them the truth out front, or at least the truth that they think it is out front, as opposed to you just not going to the table and just waiting or giving them some bullshit lie, which we've talked about before. It's like, oh yeah, well, the kitchen sucks tonight, or the kitchen's, you know, loaded and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what do you mean the kitchen? It's Friday. Of course you're busy. Why is this Friday any different from anything else? Like,
hey, it's proactive over reactive.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Josh. All right, listen, serious question, and you're not going to hurt my feelings, I promise you. When I used to work for you, and Jose, I was notorious.
For throwing people under the bus?
No, not scheduling properly. Notorious. I was always under schedule by, oh my God. He's running with 18 people right now, Monday through Sunday. I would run with 7, 8, 9 people. And love every second of it, because we're hustling, we're moving. And he would hate it.
Josh, that how never many changed. Times, never yeah, changed, oh, Josh. Never changed. Right.
Josh, how many times – the truth, please. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I love you. Did you wipe my name across the toilet in public when I wasn't there because of the schedule never. Alone? Never. Shut never. Up. No
never.
Way.
Never. You I know, made, maybe early – very early on in my career did I lambaste another manager, but never in my – I mean, I can't say never, because there's probably a time where it slipped out and I said, God damn it, Jeremy, or God damn it, Lenny, like, God damn it. You know, there's probably been times where I've let an hourly see my frustration with one of my other leaders. Right. But even when I was assistant and I had other assistants working alongside me, I found it was never in my best interest to do anything but support them, to try to get that hourly to see that, hey, you know what, maybe this is why we made that mistake. Maybe this is why, you know, Lenny only scheduled you Monday nights. Maybe this is why Lenny didn't put enough servers on the floor for a Monday and it's a Saturday. I don't know. it's very much, it's counterproductive for you to sit there and talk shit, even if you think that executive chef is the worst executive chef you've ever worked alongside with. It does you no good. All you're doing is creating more work for yourself by not backing them up. Now, you might need to follow up with the executive chef and say, hey, by the way, this is what this person said. I don't know if it's something we can work on, you know, but if you talk shit about the other managers behind their backs, you're just creating more and more of a problem for you. Yeah. Very, very frequently, I can't tell you how many times my restaurant has been, you know, over the course of the last 12 years, we've either had a food cost issue, a labor issue, and my leadership has kind of put it on to leadership. I mean, people above me say, hey, what's up with your kitchen manager? Like, can't write, you know, why do you have the worst food cost? And I always, always say, well, that's on me. It's on me because this. It's on me because I always support my management team. I think – and I'm stealing this, and I don't know where it comes from, but a strong leader needs to take a little bit more than their fair share of the blame and a little bit less than their fair share of the credit. Like, I'm not when we have a banging fucking month, do you think I'm up there like, oh yeah, Josh Gurdy for the win? No, I'm like, hey, look at everything the team did. And when we get crushed for a month, I'm not going, oh my God, look at what my kitchen manager can't pull the food costs together, can't get his head out of his ass on kitchen labor. I'm saying, hey,
right,
as a team, we need to get this thing together. It's that, again, it's more than your fair share of the blame, less than your fair share of the credit. And your team loves you for that. You know, at the end of the day, we always, you know, we're there to lead them. We're there to guide them. But the best leaders, their teams at the end of the day believe that they did it on their own. They feel a sense of empowerment.
You know, and Jose and I, when we're together, yeah, I can't say we're always perfect because, you know, we had a couple third wheels that just didn't, you know, fit with us. And the staff just knew it. You know, it's not that Jose and I even had to say anything. The staff just knew that these other people weren't picking up their weight. But one thing we always did was when something would come down from the corporate office, something we didn't agree with or we didn't like, we didn't really think it was going to execute well, we would say, hey, listen, guys, we know this is a stupid idea, but we're going to do it, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability no matter what. Like, you know, and the staff doesn't care who the CEO of the company is. They care who the general manager and the, you know, assistant general manager are. So, hey, listen, this came down from the corporate office. They say that we should do dollar tacos on Tuesdays. We know it's stupid, but we'll execute it to the best of our ability. Let's just get through it. You know, it's only from 4 to 7, whatever. So, I don't think that's completely shitty because we've always wanted to be transparent. And, hey, listen, if I don't like an idea – I don't like an idea. It doesn't mean that the CEO, we didn't say, oh, the CEO is a freaking moron. He doesn't know what he's doing. No, listen, it's not the greatest idea in the world, but let's get it over with. So I think there's a fine line between there. And I think Jose and I would always handle that properly. And again, we've had our moments. I can speak honestly. We had our moments where there was, you know, always the third manager. We're like, oh my God, I can't believe this kid is actually a manager or this guy is a chef or whatever the case is. We've had that. I've had those moments. As the time grew on and as my relationship with Jose grew, and we became more of a glue, you know, we would just word our things differently and just focus on each other instead of worrying about what the other guys were doing. Like, all right, Jose, what can you and I do? Let's go. Forget about them. I used to tell them all the time, like, dude, forget about what the chef's doing. Let's just see what we can do. Like, let's just forget about him. Let's just go ahead and run our shifts. Forget about him. Because some people just don't want to or will never want to pull their weight. And that's okay. Our responsibility at the time was to make sure that we ran a safe, fun work environment. And we weren't going to let anyone around us, you know, affect that. And I think towards the end of our regime together, we really did a good job doing that. I mean, Josh, you and I always, when we worked, the place was always safe. The place was definitely always fun. And we were always busy, people making a shit ton of money. So it just took a little while for us to get there. Because, you know, hey, listen, Josh, you and I, whether it was me or kitchen managers or whatever, we were always surrounded by some real underperformers for a little while there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean,
and you and I, right off the bat, you know, we were brother and brother, like, you know, a couple hours into our, you know, meeting each other.
Yeah. But,
you know, just all these things, I think people need to realize, like, you take all these situations, take our podcast, take any restaurant podcast or watch Ramsey or Danny Meyer, all these guys, and just take little tidbits from everyone and just say, oh, you know, Lenny was right. Or Jose was right when he talked about just getting to the table and being proactive instead of waiting for food to come out. And now the guest is just infuriated even more, or Josh is saying, like, hey, listen, take all the responsibility, but don't take all the credit. Like, just listen, if you guys are listening and you're in this game, just stop picking from everyone in the industry these little nuggets, because you can be very successful if you put your mind to it. Like, look at Josh and Jose, they thrive in this industry. It's just the hospitality industry, and I just thrive at being the most handsome out of the group. But anyways, so my advice is just start picking people's brains. I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I got hired. But I started watching, you know, we had a kitchen manager. I started watching what he was doing and certain things I didn't want to do. I started watching what Josh is doing. I started picking his brain. Josh told me something a long time ago. He said, listen, I just drop little mental nuggets every day into people because eventually I'm going to need a favor from them and they're going to remember all the mental nuggets I dropped in their brains from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months ago. And they're going to be quick to help me out when I need them. It was certain, like, dude, you taught me that 12 years ago, 11 years ago. And I still remember that.
Emotional bank account.
Emotional bank account. Yep. You told me that 11, 12 years ago. I still remember that. I think I got Jose to join this podcast because I just kept dropping nuggets in his head.
Right. Right. Nothing. So, there's still to this day, there's no more important advice, you know, so we can sit here and stroke each other's egos a little bit.
Yeah.
No more important advice that any manager that I've ever worked with or for has told me than, hey, dude, remember, you put steak on plates.
Yeah.
It's like, so when we take this all so seriously and we create an environment of stress for our staffs around us because we're just so stressed out about fucking cooking a steak medium or put, you know, I mean, ticket times and like, if we can't handle the stress in the building, like, forget it. Right. You're putting steak on plates or, you know, Jose, whatever the hell you guys serve over there. Like, you know, fuck, man, like, don't stress it out so much. You know, you're putting steak on plates, get your shit together. There's bigger problems in the world. Now do it the best you goddamn can. Absolutely. If you're going to be there, do it better than anybody.
Earn your paycheck, baby.
But at the end of the day, don't take yourself too seriously. You know, it's steak and potatoes. Best advice I ever got.
Jose, thank you, Josh. But Jose, finish this off, please. Hopefully, he's on fire lately. Jose, he's like 3 or 4 episodes deep to where he's closing the show out with these words of wisdom that are almost impossible to top.
Those are your words of wisdom. I just fucking stole
those. Those are my words.
I use that all the time still. All the time.
Hey, it's the truth. It's the truth.
It's the truth.
It's the Listen. Truth. Hey, well, you know what? Before Jose starts and finishes us off, Josh, at that point when I came up with it, like, we've always had different lifestyles, right? As close as we are, like, you know, my daughter was always older than your kids. I never had a wife or anything like that. Our lifestyles were different. And I was just more relaxed. And, hey, man, who cares? At the end of the day, who gives a fuck? But anyways, go ahead, Jose. Finish this off.
That's what I was going to say. Like, when it comes down to it, like, everything we do, like, we're not surgeons. We're not saving people's lives unless somebody's choking. Like, our job is to make sure that people don't get raw chicken and the people that we hire aren't assholes. That's pretty much it. Like, I tell people that all the time. Like, they get frustrated. I'm like, listen, if they're yelling at you, they're having a bad day. Let it go. Like, it's one person. You've had 57 people in the 3-hour shift you've been here. One person's treating you like an asshole. Let it go. Who cares? Who gives a shit? That's on them. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Are you making money? Do you have a job? Are you upright? You're not dead. Like, there's so many other things and so many other people that are worse off than you. It doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, you are so right. All the problems in the world.
Right. Like, one person had an undercooked burger. Who gives a shit? No big deal. And at that point, it's not even coming out of their wallet. I'm comping it. The company's paying for it. So don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. Oh, this person's being such a bitch and blah, blah, blah. That whole table sucks. Yeah. Tough shit. One table out of your whole day. It's not that big of a deal. If it's 6 tables, then I'm like, well, is it you? I mean, all 6 tables suck. I mean, I feel like that might be you at that point. But if one table's bad or one table complains about one thing, it doesn't matter. Take it off the bill. Like, if I come in, if I'm expediting, they're like, Jose, this table, blah, 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 take it off the bill. Just take it off. I don't have time for this. It's Friday night. Just take it off. We'll figure it out. Like,
yeah.
Whether it's a drink, whether it's edamame, whether it's a ice cream pie, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not our money. We're here to make money, and that person's probably going to tip you more because I took the undercooked whatever it is, or they didn't like the chicken bowl. Like, they're going to tip you more because we took it off and you showed that you cared to a bitchy table. And that's it. They're going to go home happy. You're going to go home happy because they tipped you more. The buses are going to go home happy because they tipped, because you tipped them more. And the company made more money in the long run, and they have to spend $4 on an ice cream pie piece of cake. No big deal. Like, let's just move on with our lives. And again, we're not ER nurses. We're not, you know, trauma surgeons. Like, we're not saving lives. Like, our job is important, yes, but there's a lot of other jobs that are super duper more important than ours. And like, we're alive, we have jobs, we're healthy if we're at work. Like, be happy for that. Like, there's people that don't have any of that, or one of the three, or all of those three. Just, it's not that big of a fucking deal. We're restaurant managers, and we're here to unlock the door. And like we always said, Lenny, the doors have to fucking open. Whether we're there or not, whether they fire us, whether we quit, guess what? The key's still going to turn the next morning. They're still going to shut off the alarm. The hoods are still going to get on. The girls are still going to get turned on. And we're still going to serve whether we're in that building or not. So unless we're Westboro for 10 days and it burns down. But after that, we're back up and running. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm the one who went on vacation after the building went on fire.
I think you started it, so you could go on vacation.
I was going anyways. Gentlemen, the fact of the matter is, no matter what happens within your four walls, we are the ones that are responsible, and we love that responsibility. We want to have it any other way. Absolutely. He is Jigaman 3131.
Woohoo! Shout out UConn.
Shout out JWoo. Let's go.
Shout out JWoo.
Big sponsorships. And then here's Josh G 1226. Gentlemen, I appreciate you. I love you both. We are one episode closer to number 100.
Night night.
Night night. Later.
Thank you for enjoying this episode of The Top Shelf. And as always, you can follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Our music was created by Slater, that's SLDR_music. And as always, have an amazing day.